الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. In this ayat kareema, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given a prescription by which we can become his awliya, his very close friends. And a friend is dealt with like a friend then. And when Allah's friendship, what greater thing can there be than the friendship of Allah Ta'ala? And Allah Ta'ala himself has offered us to become his awliya. And for that it is that we should not only keep the roza as the structure of the roza, the basics of the roza, but keep a beautiful, a perfect roza, in which we have discussed that we should keep roza of the eyes also, not look at anything which is haram, which is undesirable. Roza of the tongue also, that we don't say anything which is undesirable, which is haram. Similarly, we should keep roza of the ears also. That is also equally, we should try and avoid anything which is undesirable and which is haram, listening to it also. Though the ear physically does not make an action, the eyes have to look. And for the eyes, because that was so dangerous, Allah Ta'ala gave us a complete easy protection of the eyes, the eyelids that Allah Ta'ala has given us to protect our eyes, physically also and spiritually also. Physically, if there is a storm and the dust and sand is blowing, then every person with his eyelids closes his eyes. Because if any of those storm particles, the dust, the sand particles have to go into the eyes, we know it can harm the eye terribly. And then at such a time, when the wind is blowing, we don't just close our eyelids, we put our hands also on our eyes to make double sure that nothing must go in the eye must be protected. So how much more important is it that spiritually, when there is a storm, a spiritual storm, lot of women around, and women who are dressed badly, scantily, nakedly, then how much more important, isn't it, that we should close our eyes? And in fact, at such a time also, the world can think of you that you are stupid, that you are putting your hands also on your eyes and you are closing them, but to protect your iman, and you close your eyes at that time, that is the work of a mu'min. Like with regard to the ears, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was walking in the marketplace of Madinatul Munawwara and there was some music, he took his fingers physically and he put them in his ears to block out the sound of the music. So like that, for our eyes also, to put our hands over our eyes and close them. The world can laugh at us. If they want to laugh, that is their problem. But we will be protecting our iman. And we know for the eyes also, if a person has a problem with the eyes, everyone, friends, family, all will say that have your eyes treated. Eyes are very valuable. You say you can't afford it, people will offer their help also. They'll give you a loan, they'll help you also. The wife will be prepared to sell her jewelry also. And if there's a very special doctor somewhere, in Surat, in India, in Canada, anywhere in the world, they say, you must go. Don't worry, we'll give you the money for your ticket, etc. And for iman, unfortunately, iman is not important for us. Agar tera jism zara alil ho, if your body is a little ill, you have a problem, khusha hakimo ki tu sunta hai be dalil. You listen to what the hakim say, without any proof also. Madawa etan me to tu chust hai. With regard to your body and treating your body, you are very, very vigorous, you are very, very alert about that. Magar fikre iman me tu kyu chust hai. But when it comes to your iman, then why are you just so lazy, lethargic, not doing anything about your iman? Iman is the most important thing. So to protect our eyes also, from the storms, we put the eyelids, we cover them, and we put our hands also. So similarly, when there are women around, don't be shy. Like we mentioned, Hadrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, at Karachi airport, when there were girls, women walking around, he asked this wheelchair to be turned so that it faces the wall. Let the world say, you stupid, you're looking at the wall. But you're looking after your eyes, you are looking after your iman. That is extremely important. So the eyes, that where it was so dangerous, Allah Ta'ala gave us eyelids. You just pull your eyelids down, and this also Allah has been so kind to control the eyelids, like the car, to dip your lights. If there is another car coming from in front at night with bright lights, you just have to flick the dipper. Whichever way, some cars it's on the right side, some cars it's on the left side, wherever it is, you just flick it. But to dip the eyes, Allah did not put any button. As our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, Allah did not put the button by your knee or under your leg. And if you see a woman coming, you have to go down, press the button by your knee, or you have to go down further under your leg, in your foot, you have to go and press a button. And you might lose your control and fall also. And then that woman might think also, you've gone head over heels over her. And you for that button. No, Allah did not do that. Allah Ta'ala, just at a slight thought, your eyes, you close them. And you get protected. You don't have to look. And also, who is really a person who won't look when this will come? Who is a person who, if he's carrying some money, if he's carrying something valuable in his pocket, and he suspects that these are crooks coming in front, what won't he do to protect himself? He'll go in a different route, he'll do all things. So a person who has got treasure of him, treasure of iman, that person will be conscious to look after his eyes. And a person who hasn't got anything, crooks are also coming, I've got nothing to worry, he'll just walk also freely. Who puts lot of security around their houses, around their places? People who have got lot of money. A person who hasn't got money, no security. He hasn't even got a boundary wall. He hasn't even got an alarm system, because there is nothing. So if we haven't got anything spiritually valuable, then we won't worry. Then that you see that person, his eyes are just moving around all the time, looking everywhere. But a person who has acquired something, and it is for that reason that ibadat is valuable. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that actually zikr, like in the Khanqa of Hazrat Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, any person who came was not allowed to make zikr. And he wasn't given permission for zikr. And any person who saw others making zikr and started was reprimanded. First he was told that you must learn your masail, your Quran Sharif. Correct your Quran Sharif firstly. Learn your masail first. Go to Beshti Zewar first. Learn your masalas. That is most important. Hazrat Maulana Shah Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, ke najat ka daru madar fazail par nahi hai. To get salvation in Akhirat from Jahannam, that it does not depend on knowing and having lot of fazail. Masail par uska daru madar hai. Najat is on masail, knowing masalas, so that our things are correct, our namaz recitation is correct, our wuzu is correct, our taharat is correct, our namazas are correct, our rozas are correct. Fazail is to encourage us. So anyway, zikr comes afterwards. But our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, nowadays, mashayikh give zikr right at the start. You just become bayat and they show you zikr already. The reason for this is, due to our weakness, by making zikr, by making ibadat, nur accumulates. And then nur, when that nur comes into a person, just like if, like there's a storm brewing, and if the lights have to go off, a person who had lights in his house, who had electricity, and the lights are gone off, that person will phone the electricity department that our lights are gone off. Are people doing something about it? When will the lights be restored? But a person who was living in a shack, in a shanty and he's got no lights. He won't even know the lights are gone off. So that person who hates lights and the lights are gone, he knows lights are gone off. So the benefit of ibadat, dhikrullah, light, nur comes in a person. When he commits a guna, he sees darkness has come now. Now he sees he doesn't feel like making ibadat anymore. Then he contacts his sheikh and says that I don't know what happened now. I just don't feel like making ibadat anymore. My tabiati, my nature is going towards sin now more. I want to commit more sin. The light is gone off. So that light again, to restore it, may the sheikh will say, make tawbah istighfar. Hadrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi said that when a person makes bad nazri, looks at strange woman, and voluntarily, intentionally, and he took enjoyment of it, then that guna will be made maaf by tawbah. If a person makes tawbah, today we're not even conscious of making tawbah. But the noor still won't come back, even after tawbah. The noor that he had previously, his account that is frozen now in the bank. They won't open his account again until when another occasion comes, when there is another woman again. A temptation to look at somebody and your desire is also there, but you don't look. That is when your account that was frozen will be opened again. That noor which was there and which you had, which was closed now, it was shut off, that noor will come back. But our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, don't go and look for opportunity to look at a woman. If such an opportunity arises, at that time you control yourself, then that noor will come back. Tawbah, will, by tawbah your guna will be made maaf. If a person ate poison by unintentionally, somebody puts out whatever he took some poison, and it is a sin, it is a gunai kabira to have poison, which is committing suicide. But by mistake you hate it, and when you you won't get the guna for taking that poison because you did it unintentionally. But its effect is going to come. You are going to be affected by that poison, even if you took it unintentionally. Same way, but nazri, looking at other woman, that also unintentionally, by mistake your eyes fell, the guna you won't get, but the effect is going to fall. And our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum says it so beautifully. He says, every time you're looking unintentionally, you're not guarding your gaze. You're just looking all the time. Little bit, just like a fly, it collects little food. And that little food, now it will open a hotel with that food. So much food it will acquire. And then not only a hotel, it will open a motel also. So much food. So your eyes also, the little bit it looks, it's accumulating. The dust, the dirt, the rust is falling all the time. Though it's unintentional. But you did not take care of not looking. But the rust is coming on the heart all the time. Until the time will come where it will become a hotel and a motel, which the Quran says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that now their hearts have become rusted, have become black. Now it shows nothing. For this, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that أَدَمِ قَصْدِ nazar, that is not enough. That you have, that you don't have the intention of looking. What is necessary is قَصْدِ أَدَمِ nazar, the intention not to look. One is, you get up in the morning, no intention that I'm going to go and look at women today. Either at the bus stop, at the station, where a lot of women walk, I'll go and sit there and look at them. You haven't got that intention. So that is not enough. That person will still fall in guna. What you have to do in the morning, you have to make an intention that today I'm not going to look at any woman. You have to have that firm intention. To understand it very simply, if your car is in neutral, if somebody pushes it from the back, it will go front. If somebody pushes it from the front, it will go back. It's in neutral. So if you are in a neutral state, you haven't got the intention of looking, and you haven't got the intention of not looking, you are neutral. That person, whatever, as the wind blows, you will go. If the woman comes in front, you're going to look. But if you put your car in gear, and you pull up your handbrakes also, and if you are in a very steep incline, put some rocks or bricks also by the wheel. Then, inshallah, your car won't move. So if you make that firm intention that I'm not going to look, that person will get saved. Anyway, for the eyes, Allah has given us eyelids to protect ourselves, which is very easy. For the tongue, you can just keep your tongue, what we call zipped. Just zip your through your mouth. Just keep quiet and don't talk a word. That is all right. But the ears, they are open. So how much more mustn't we be careful about the ears? The ears, you can't, Allah didn't put anything there that you can block your ears. And the ear, Allahu Akbar. If a person studies biology or we get these write-ups that are written, Allah has made the ear like a funnel. Like we put a funnel on a bottle when you want to pour something, so nothing must get messed. And everything must go directly into the bottle. So the top of the funnel is quite broad. Then the bottom is very narrow. Everything collects and goes in there. Allah made the ear. If you look at it, you can't see your own ear, but see somebody else's ear. You'll see Allah made it like a funnel, though it's sideways. But Allah made it like a funnel. And according to the anatomy of the body, biology, it is explained that it has been made in such a way that it can collect sounds from all sides. And sounds of various decibels, the ear collects it all. And then through the funnel, which is the passage which is going inside now, there then it is delivered now to the brain. All the sounds. And then there is great detail of how the sounds, which we only sounds, but how it goes through the funnel to the brain, and then it changes into meaning. Like this, we only are speaking words, but how that words take on meaning. There is Allah Ta'ala's ajeeb system that Allah Ta'ala has made. And the ears are open all the time. After all, how does a person wake up in the morning for sihri? The alarm rings, or somebody wakes him up. So it is that sound which the ear collects. You are fast asleep. You are fast asleep, your eyes are closed also. You are fast asleep, your mouth is closed also. But your ears are still open. So from our side, though we don't think of it, how much we have to be careful about the ear as well. And with regard to the ear also, there are major, major gunas. We are sitting 4 or 5 people, just 2 people, husband and wife, and we are talking, and we're speaking bad about somebody. The one person is doing the talking, the other person is doing the listening. So, and your own ears are also listening. When you are talking, the closest to your mouth, the ears that are in most of the cases, it is your own ears. Unless you're very close and you're whispering in your wife's ear or somebody else's ear. And husband and wife, if they are alone in the house, nobody else. But when they are intimate, they whisper. They can speak loudly, nobody is going to hear. But naturally, they're just whispering to one another. But anyway, what the ears, your own ears are the most closest to you. And therefore, in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, our Shaykh Dhamad Barakatum says that وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind always about deen, speak about deen. For a reminder is beneficial to the believers. Our Shaykh Dhamad Barakatum says, many people say that today to tell somebody it's useless, no listens, nobody listens. So it is useless, don't tell anyone anything. What's the use of making bayan? Nobody listens in any case. Hadrat says, a person who says that must read his kalima again. Because Allah Ta'ala says that a reminder is beneficial. And we speaking against the Quran openly and we say a reminder is not beneficial. Whereas Allah has declared a reminder is beneficial. And one reason also why mashayikh give khilafat, and nowadays they give quite easily also, so that khilafat is not a certificate of Jannat which we have to hang up or which we have to treasure and put in the safe or something. It is that you must start doing work, that now have majlis. And many people, until they don't sell themselves, tell other people, their Islah doesn't get made. By listening, their Islah doesn't get made. When they start talking, and people say, but you say this, you say that, you told us this. In that way, the Islah gets made. So many times, ijazat is given, not because a person, his Islah is made, but by that means, hopefully, Islah will be made. So therefore, a person, especially those, and every mu'min, it's his duty, from Quran and Hadith, Where just ayat says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for a reminder is beautiful, is beneficial. In our homes we should be talking about deen in a suitable way, not again in such a way that we can start talking that the wife says that all the muftis in the world are dead. You're the only mufti that is alive. And you're just carrying on all the time. And when you start with your lectures and with your bayans in a suitable way, that it is acceptable, it is palatable. So much so, one sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu told another sahabi or a tabi that if, for example, the people request a majlis of hadith, of deen talks, give them a majlis, have majlis for them. And if they request another majlis in a week, give them a second majlis. More than that, don't give them. Because then the people are going to get tired of it. So don't overdo it also. Hazrat Maulana Qamar al-Zaman Sahib says that even good, don't talk all the time. Even good. Keep quiet, have time to reflect on your own condition also. Don't just be giving bayan all the time. Think about yourself also. Have time to make amal also. You're telling others so much to make zikr and you're carrying on and you got no time to make zikr yourself. You're telling others about tilawat so much and you got no time for yourself to make tilawat. To do your own amal is also a very, very important aspect. So everything in its proportion, dimension is very good. Anything that becomes lopsided becomes unsavory and it becomes untasty. Salt, how good isn't it? Without salt in the food, what is the salt? But too much of salt, then what becomes of that food also? Sugar, how enjoyable isn't it in our tea, in our sweet dishes? But if it's too much of sugar, that also is no good. Though it's so nice and sweet, but that is also no good. So everything must be balanced also. And that really we get from mashayikh. If we stay in their company, mashayikh haqqa, the ulama haqq, from there we will learn how to balance everything. Otherwise, many a person who becomes pious in his own right, and especially those who look at kitabs and that, you see they become lopsided. They're very, very lopsided. You don't see a smile on their face afterwards. They haven't got time for the family afterwards. That is totally incorrect. Deen is a complete and a perfect way of life. So anyway, the ear, so if we are sitting, and unless it isn't the mizaj of woman, there nobody listens, all only talk. Or it's a stock exchange or the fish market, there everyone is just talking all the time, nobody is listening. But normally, it is one person who is talking, the others who are listening. And it is on this basis that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, that one of his reasons, logical reasons, that in namaz, when the imam reads Surah Fatiha, then all must keep quiet and listen. Because if all are talking, he is made the agent, the representative to convey our message to Allah Ta'ala. He's talking on our behalf. So therefore, when the imam is reading, we should be silent, we should be listening. Other mazahib say, they all should read Surah Fatiha. And then they have another problem, that when should Surah Fatiha be recited? Must the imam keep quiet and give them chance? While he's reading, must they read? They have another problem there. But anyway, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, when one is talking, others must be listening. So we should be listening. So anyway, if one person is making ghibat, he's using his tongue, he's backbiting, the person who is listening is doing nothing, so to say. But he's listening, he's doing an act of listening. But it is a passive act. He's not active, he's not really doing it, but he is equal in the guna. And when a person is listening also, and if there again, according to the level of a person's iman, a person must stop that person. Brother, what you are saying is not correct. Or in any case, even if it is correct, and ghibat Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Maulana Qamar al-Zaman said, what a valuable point. He said that many people say that you must speak the truth, and it comes in the hadith, that speak the truth, walau mur, even if it is very bitter. But there again, just looking at the hadith, a person won't understand properly. Until a person doesn't stay with mashayikh, with ahlullah, he won't understand. He said that it is not always that even you must speak the truth. And sometimes it is haram to speak the truth. What is ghibat? You are speaking the truth about somebody. That person really has got that fault. That is when it is ghibat. And ghibat is haram. So yeah, to speak the truth is haram. Totally haram to speak the truth. And to listen to that truth is also haram. And if a person is making ghibat, backbiting, and what he's talking of that person is not actually, it's not the truth, it's not on him, then he's got a double guna. Then it is a guna of backbiting also and false accusation also. He's got a double guna, this person. Also, while we are here on backbiting, we discussed that on the guna of the tongue, that backbiting, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that it is worse than adultery also. So some people think that, well, it's adultery, then it's not such a bad guna. That when backbiting is worse than adultery, that means adultery is not such a, no. Adultery is a terrible, a very bad guna. In which aspect, ulama have given one explanation, why is backbiting regarded as worse than adultery? Because if a person, khuda nakhasta, commits adultery, whether it is only adultery of the eyes, of the tongue, or actually, then that person feels very guilty. He feels automatically very dirty and very bad. He feels himself to be the lowest of the low. This person makes tawbah very easily. And for him to accept that I was wrong, he accepts it. Whether somebody tells him or within himself, I've done wrong. He doesn't justify himself. But ghibat, a person justifies himself. And ghibat, a person enjoys while making ghibat also, even afterwards. I told them what he is like. And I told them everything about his whole life story, I told them. So all this is ghibat. And you don't feel guilty. And from ghibat, seldom a person makes tawbah. He doesn't accept it as a wrong, as a guna. He says, I spoke the truth. That is how it is. I spoke the truth. And therefore, in that aspect, ghibat is worse. That a person doesn't make tawbah from ghibat. He justifies it, and he feels that he has done wrong. And on with adultery, he accepts that I've really done wrong. So therefore, in that aspect, so this ghibat, whether a person is making it, or you listening it, in listening even more, a person feels, but I didn't say anything. I was just listening, and what could I do? Many people also, when many people make ghibat, it comes in a Hadith Sharif, if somebody is slandered, somebody is spoken bad about, and you can save that person's respect and you don't, Allah will bring the day before you die in this world that your respect will be taken. Somebody else was spoken bad about, and you did not protect that person, his izzat, his honor, which is the duty of a mu'min. Then, and you listened also, and you also enjoyed. And as our Shaykh Damat Barakatu says, when we're making ghibat, backbiting about somebody, then you say, yeah, good you spoke this. I had the same doubt. And today you spoke it out. You actually explained everything. You made it manifest and clear. You let out the secret. That what I was having a doubt about, you let it out today. So that is, you're listening there. You are also equally a son. You are an accessory to that son, to that guna, and you are equally, though you are a passive partner there. You didn't do anything actively, just listening, you are equally also sinful. And it comes in the Hadith Sharif, you must tell that person. If you can't, you haven't got that level of iman, you should get up and walk away. Once we were still students in India, in Deoband, and we were in the Jamiat office in Delhi, Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahib, who also, may Allah reward him, he's responsible for a lot of my tarbiyat also. We were sitting there with my brother-in-law, Maulana Abbas, Haji Ahmed Nakhuda, and one person. And he was speaking bad about some other people, that other person. So this is what is iman, and what we witnessed and we saw. And only a person gets courage when he actually witnesses, he sees it for himself. So Haji Ahmed Nakhuda stopped him and told him, what you are saying is wrong, it's not right. But that person was adamant, he was in a mood of his own. And he carried on. Then Haji Ahmed got up and he told us also, you also get up and walk away from here. So that is, at that time, it is not to see that person. We say akhlaq at that time. In order to make guna, then we see akhlaq, character. We have to have good character. That person will get offended. No, if he's making ghibat, he's backbiting, whether he gets offended, that doesn't matter at that time. You first, in a nice way, you stop him. You tell him, don't do this, don't speak like this. This is wrong what you are saying. But if the person carries on, then it's your duty that you get up and you walk away from there. So if we build our iman to that level, will we be able to do that? So one thing in the ghibat, and nobody can make ghibat alone, where he hasn't got an audience. So if you walk away, automatically now, when you tell him to keep quiet, he won't. But when you walk away, now who's going to listen? There's nobody to listen, then he'll have to keep quiet. But because this again, like in this morning's tafsir it was, that amar bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. And what is amar bil ma'roof? That to command what is the right. Amar, to command what is the right. There's a duty on every mu'min. And nahi anil munkar is to forbid. Nahi is the opposite. Command, it is a command in a negative sense. Like it tells, do this, that is amar. Don't do this, this is nahi. And this is a duty upon every mu'min. Okay? And so we should understand this point very, very clearly for parents and whoever has got authority, who is in an authoritative position, parents, ustads, a sheikh, an imam, all these people, it's their duty where they see wrong, they must command that in the negative, don't do this, don't do this. This is a duty, but we have to learn how to do it. Don't go and commit more problems now and create even worse situations. And commanding what is the right is also a duty. And wherever a person has got this authority, it is his duty. A father today, so sadly, he can't tell his son also to keep a beard, for example, or lift your trousers above the ankles. Whereas a father, it was, he should have had that authority. And today, how sadly, many parents tell us here in the madrasa, many people they tell, that you must tell my son this, but don't let him know I said. So much we have become weak that we are frightened of our children. With regard to the telling the husband something, the wife will phone. Telling the wife something, the husband will phone that in the bayan you must say this, but don't let him make it known that I told this. Eh? So, whereas we haven't got that in front of a mu'min. Eh? A mu'min is adhillatin alal mu'mineen. Humble in front of the believers, a'izzatin al-kafirin, strong against the non-believers. But with the non-believers also, if with our own believers we haven't got that courage, how are we going to be courageous in front of the non-believers? So it is a matter of the level of our iman that a person must have this courage. So ghibat, that is one thing. And ghibat is not only listening to ghibat backbiting, but listening to ghibat also is equally a sin also. So a person must be very careful about this also. Then another thing as far as the ears are concerned, which is common today, musical tones on the cell phone. Hey, this has become so common. And how terrible, just to give us an idea, how far-reaching effects it has. Last year in Haram of Medina Sharif, while Farz Namaz was carrying on, one person who had a musical tone on his mobile, on his cell phone, he was very close to the Imam. And the Imam's mics, they've got a very super quality there, the mics in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, it catches the sound very easily. And his phone rang while Namaz was carrying on. And it was a musical tone. And through the Imam's mic in the whole Haram of Makkah, Medina Sharif, music was playing all the time. And now it's Farz Namaz, nobody putting it off. People, cheekhe nikal gai, people screamed out aloud, what is happening today right in Medina Sharif? Music on the mic of the Imam, music is playing today. How the enemy has done, and what we think that this was, it is just the tone on my cell phone. But see what effect it has got. And how Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have been hurt in his qabr. In my masjid today, music is playing in my masjid. And not only from the phone, from the mic of the masjid, music is playing. And how many good people, learned people, pious people, all their cell phones with musical tones. And if you tell somebody, they say that, no, the children, you know, the children get hold of it. Or this phone hasn't got any other tone. It's only got these musical tones. Whereas everything has become possible today. You can put your child's crying on the phone. You can put your child's laughing on the phone. Everything, everyone knows. But with this, just a don't care attitude. And listening to music, Hazrat, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that music leads to adultery. The effect, why are the enemies making music so common? And today, in Nazams also music. Even such a way they try and justify that it's not actually music, but the effect is of musical tone. So music, so that is equally haram. Just like today with the digital cameras and digital photos, some people try and prove this is not photography, actually how photography was originally. But what a stupid argument that is. But the result of it is photography. The result of it is pictures. And that is what is haram. Not how you make it, but what is made is haram. So music, that even if it is not actually musical instruments which are used, but the result of it is music, that is equally haram. And today it has been brought right into our nasheeds and into our nazams. And all these things also music. So this is also haram. One of the conditions of listening to ash'ar, that it must not arouse one's emotions wrongly. That is a, so therefore, a young boy, if he reads, or a person reads with a female voice, to listen to that ash'ar, which are very good in the praises of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the love of Allah ta'ala, but to listen to that will be haram, because it's arousing the emotions wrongly. So therefore, qawwali is haram in that, because of all the music that is there. Many of the qawwali, the ash'ar, the poems are very beautiful. And very, they will, your iman, it will make your iman grow. But the environment, the way it is done, that is wrong. So therefore, everyone must be very, very careful with regard to this musical tones on the phones. The enemy today, right in front of Rauza Mubarak, where there are people reading Salatu Salam, there somebody's phone rings. Right in the Mataf, Baytullah, making Tawaf, and musical tones there also. And people just don't seem to anything. Whoever it can be, today this has become so common. So we should be very, very careful about that also. And of course, and today with the phone, you phone somebody, and good Muslim firms, they also got music while you are, they put you on hold, and music is carrying on. MashaAllah, there are many firms that have become conscious, and they have put, they give a message of Islam, or anything else, do anything else, have the sound of a bird or something, but far away from any music that which is totally haram. Al-ghina ruqiyatu zina. Ghina, music, is the stepping stone towards adultery. When a person starts listening to music, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that your emotions are aroused now. And then your inclination goes towards adultery. So therefore we should keep away. So wherever we are, as far as possible, and we should also, another very important thing with regard to these things, tawbah and istighfar. There where we go, the ear hasn't got any plug on it. We are walking somewhere, their music is blaring loudly. You have listened to it, the effect is going to fall on your heart. Whether you did not have the intention, you did not take the enjoyment of it. It comes in a Hadith Sharif that music causes hypocrisy in the heart. More faster, in the desert there is a plant, in the desert we know normally it doesn't rain, very seldom it rains in the desert. But when it rains, overnight that plant grows 4 meters high, which is more higher than our normal houses, which are 2.2, 2.8 at the most, our houses, the height of the house. 4 meters it grows overnight when it rains. And music causes hypocrisy, nifaq, to grow in the heart more faster than that also. And today how common this music has become. We don't understand, the enemies have studied Islam in detail. And they know what are the things. And today how many good people, learned people want to justify music, that it's legal, that music is permissible. This is how the enemy is working. They've got the agents. And nowadays, they don't even, Hadrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, there was one stage, in order to spoil Muslim men, they should bring their woman into the Muslim man. And now they don't. The Muslim woman they have corrupted so much that they are spoiling Muslim men. And the same way with music also. They don't have to bring, our people are enough now for them. With all various types of musical instruments and musical means of music, etc. So the ear is also that we should keep roza about. And when a person, this month of Ramadan, when there is an environment is of piety, people themselves are feeling righteous and pious, and especially how fortunate are the brothers who are in i'tikaf. No music here. And alhamdulillah, we don't really hear it from outside also here. Some places, by some masjids, there are musical shops right around there, musical things, and that sound comes still. Yeah, alhamdulillah, generally we are protected from that also. And so, and yeah, within ourselves, ghibat. Don't make ghibat, don't listen to ghibat also. That is also a serious crime, very serious crime. So if we protect our ears, then inshallah, don't hear any bad, don't see anything wrong, don't speak anything wrong, and you won't be wrong. All these, the ears, the eyes, the tongue, the smell, all these things, they affect the brain. And from here, all the things that are collected go and they form an effect on the brain. So we should be very careful what we are looking at. Should be very careful what we are talking, what we are listening to. All these things, they have an effect on the heart. And if the heart, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةٌ. There is one piece of flesh in the body. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If that becomes right, the whole body becomes right. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If that goes wrong, the whole body goes bad. And أَلَّا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Listen, open your ears, it is the heart. The heart is important. And the heart affects and gets affected. What we see with our eyes, it has an effect in the heart. What we talk affects the heart. What we hear affects the heart. What we smell affects the heart. All these things. And the heart in turn affects all these things then. It affects the eyes, what we must look at. It affects the ears, what we must listen to. Also with regard to hearing, listening to female voices. Whether it is on the phone, you are phoning for some of your work, but there is a lady and they are trained to speak in a very seductive way, especially when they want to sell so their items, etc. And a stupid person will think, this woman has fallen for me. She is selling her product. You'll fall for her product. You're not going to get her in any case. But when you fall for her voice, you are losing your iman. So there also, like when a person speaks, if a woman speaks to a strange man, a man speaks to a strange woman of necessity, don't let there be any joking in there. Though you don't mean anything, don't let your voice be soft. How automatically, nature, when a man speaks to a woman and to a man, you don't have to know who's on the other side on the line. From his voice you can say, his voice, not what he's talking, his voice you can say whether there is a woman on the other side of the line or whether there is a man. But a mu'min's work is, especially when he speaks to a woman, a strange woman, to make his voice also a bit stern. You don't have to be rude and harsh, but to speak stern. And only use words which are necessary. And use the correct words. Don't use any words also. That is also Allahu Akbar. Hadhrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, you are going to the station to buy a ticket, train ticket. And at who's selling the ticket is a woman. Now when you notice it's a woman, without you realizing it, you see you are putting your beard in order. And you are putting your topi in order. You're just going to buy the ticket. But just because you saw it was a woman, your nafs has control over you. You don't realize it also. But now, you're just going to buy your ticket and walk, but you want to present yourself in a nice way in front of that woman. So how we talk, how we present ourselves, all these. It's only those people who have realized that nafs is our enemy, shaitan is our enemy, and we have to be fighting, we are at constant war. All the time we are at war with our nafs and shaitan. A person who becomes unmindful of this, and he's not in a state of war with his nafs, he will fall into all the traps of shaitan. He will be playing in the hands of Shaitan. Shaitan doesn't have to make tricks for him. He is in the control of Shaitan all the time. So therefore, we should be very, very careful. So when we speak to a female also, of most of the places it's females, you want to book a ticket, you want to any other work, whoever you found, most of the cases it's a female. At that time also, you are listening to her voice. So be very careful of that also. It's going to have an effect on you. And a person again at the end, for myself and for all of us, if we got some iman and we accumulated some amal, some nur, we'll feel the effect. But if we haven't got anything, it will mean nothing to us. That me speaking to woman means nothing. It doesn't have any effect on me. Me looking at woman, talking with them, and I work with them the whole day, it has got no effect on me. Then realize that you haven't got anything in you. If you've got something in you, it's going to have an effect on you all the time. And if you haven't got anything in you, it will have no effect. I can see all the women in the world, I can go through magazines, I can see videos, no effect on me, because you haven't got any iman. If you got iman, you have got amal, you have got nur, it's going to affect. And you'll feel it's being taken away from you. And then you will become conscious, how can I protect it? Like with material wealth, if you have got material wealth, somebody did you down, even just 5,000, 5 rand also, you feel it bad. But if you haven't got any wealth, nobody did you down, you don't feel anything. You can walk anywhere, you're not frightened, because you've got nothing to what the people can take from you. Unless they want to steal your kidneys also, that also they steal. Or today, young children also, they put burglar bars on their teeth also. Because they frighten people will steal their teeth out also. That is a different thing. But otherwise, if you haven't got material wealth, people don't want to, they're not interested in you, and they don't want to take your things. But if you got something, then they want to come to you. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said so beautifully, somebody told him that only Sunnis become Qadianis. Shias, they said, you ever saw a Shia becoming a Qadiani? Mufti Sahib replied, and he said that Shaitan is not so stupid. He doesn't go where there isn't any wealth. She has got no iman, what must he go and steal from them? Sunnis got iman, so he goes to them to try and steal their iman and make them into Qadianis. But she has, from the beginning, they got no wealth, so what must Shaitan go and steal from them? He is in their den already, what must he still bring them into his den? So a person who has got iman, who has got amal, anwarat, that person will be conscious of all these things. And if he hasn't got that, he won't feel anything. And Ramzan is the month to accumulate this also. What our ibadat. And then if somebody wants to steal our nur, we will feel it. And we will make contact with the electricity department. My lights are gone off. What's wrong? I don't know what is happening. But if we haven't got anything, it won't help. May Allah give us tawfiq and make this month fruitful for us, and that we protect ourselves and our islah is made.